Some very big by-election results that came out in South Africa yesterday, giving us an indication of the way the public feels about results of the national election and the decisions taken thereafter with the Government of National Unity. We're going to be talking in a moment with Ashor Sarapin. He's with the Democratic Alliance. Sure, these were really good results for the DA and for your partner in the Government of National Unity and the multi-party charter. I suppose that's over now, the IFP. But let's just start off, if we can, in for a little bit of understanding of why by-elections are held. We don't have them for national parliament, where you're a member of parliament, but indeed we do have them on a local parliamentary level. How does local government level, rather, why are they held in the first place? What sparks them?
Yeah, so generally ward councillors are the only directly elected representatives in the country. And municipal councils have two types of councillors, ward and proportional councillors. So when you go for a local election, you'll get two ballots if you're in a metro, three if you're in a district. And you will be electing two types of councillors, proportional and ward councillors. Your ward councillor is directly accountable to you, even though they're elected on the party ticket. And if they die or retire or get expelled from their party or leave their party for another party, they lose their seat. And a by-election is then triggered and the voters get an opportunity to choose a new representative. Of course, we are in a party system in real terms, so people choose a new party every time there's a by-election, really.
Okay, so that gives a good explanation. Why did we have so many important by-elections yesterday?
Well, I mean, there was some interesting things in this post-election environment. Of course, in many cases in the city of Cape Town, we had by-elections because councillors had resigned to take up other opportunities or retired after many years in office. In Beaufort West, you had an ANC councillor who left the ANC after he was accused of some sort of malfeasance and charged with the charges later dropped. You had PA councillors leaving the PA. One to the DA. In the KwaZulu-Natal, it was the most interesting one of the lot because you had a series of by-elections where ANC ward councillors had left the ANC. I'll tell you the municipality's name in a moment, but they had left the ANC. It's Umzumbe municipality, where they had left the ANC, six of them, to join MK and contest their seats. Many of them contested their seats as MK candidates. And in the general election that we just had, most of those folk would have won their wards as MK candidates if it was the patterns were exactly the same as it was 2 weeks ago. So that's what makes that lot the most interesting. Beaufort West is the second most interesting, of course, because that's where Gayton McKenzie was mayor, where people, he was mayor of the district, of course, but the PA held the mayorship in coalition with the ANC and the small party. And in Beaufort West, people have had a taste of the PA now since 2021 in real terms, in their style of government, in their delivery or lack thereof. And people got to firsthand in three wards, that's half the town, there are six wards in Beaufort West, to deliver a verdict on the PA's track record in government.
Well, let's kick off with Beaufort West. That is, as you mentioned earlier, a municipality where the Patriotic Alliance had an opportunity to show whether it could govern. In fact, its president was the mayor there for a period of time. The DA won all three of the wards that were available, two from the PA, one from the ANC. What does that do to the council itself, to the balance of power in the council?
Yeah, so going into this election, the DA had four seats in the council. It's a 13-seat council. It's a very small council. So by winning three wards off our opponents, it now becomes a majority DA council. And what's interesting is that it's never actually been a majority DA council. It's been the kind of place where the DA has always struggled. Our best result was one seat short of majority in 2016, where we got six seats out of 13. We now have beat that, so we've got seven seats. So it does mean that the coalition between the ANC, the PA, and the KGP will come to an end. Because obviously we now have majority and can elect a mayor and a speaker and actually get control of the municipality for the very first time and begin to turn it around after many, many years, 20 years of sort of mismanagement and corruption and all of the many many things that have gone wrong in that town. So it changes the council composition entirely. And for the first time, it will have a DA majority government.
Ashor, you are very deeply embedded in the party. You were number two on the national list for the DA to go back to parliament after this recent election. Were you guys expecting this result in Beaufort West?
Yes, we were. What we know from experience is that the more people taste in the Western Cape and elsewhere, where they've had DA governance, and they then experience the alternative to DA government, generally we end up with our support reinforced. And so when I was looking at the data going into these by-elections, in the national elections just 2 weeks ago, we had a huge surge of support in Beaufort West, and the PA support and the ANC support fell off a cliff, and it all migrated back to the DN fairly strongly. So I wasn't surprised to see that trend held up in the by-elections. And again, as I say, where people taste bad governance from other parties, and they've already had a taste of DA government, they tend to want the DA government back. A lot of promises were made in Beaufort West about Dubai West, but the simple reality was that the PA gave that municipality four mayors in 2 years, 3 years now, since 2021. They had four different mayors. Mayors kept resigning. One was accused of GBV. It was all a constant merry-go-round, and service delivery had ground to a halt. And it really was not, promises that were made were not kept. The sort of talks about turning it into the Dubai of the desert never materialized. And what people just wanted were their services to work. They want their water to work, want their electricity, they want their potholes fixed, they want their refuse removed. They want a fairly competent government that just does what it's supposed to do. And the DA always does the basics the best, and we always focus on that. And when those things fell apart, people came back to us.
Let's move back to Cape Town, which was the second area where there were by-elections. There were three wards. Looking at the results, it's almost impossible to see two of the councillors came back with increased majorities, one with 98%, the other one with 97%. I say almost impossible because you can hardly believe that just about everybody who went to vote in the by-election voted for the DA councillors, for the incumbents there. And I guess that must have been a surprise even to you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were voting districts in those by-elections in the city of Cape Town where we got 99% of the votes. There was one voting district where every single person bar one voted for the DA. We're supposed, our job now is to hunt down the one person who didn't vote for us, find out why. But the strength of support in the city of Cape Town in this post-election environment was unusually strong for us. I mean, obviously, we're grateful for every vote, and we're grateful that even though everyone had standing those long queues 2 weeks ago, they came out again to vote now and voted for the DA in such large numbers. But the scale of those victories were almost unprecedented. And when you start getting 99.75% of the vote, that's an endorsement of what we've done in the city of Cape Town for 15 years now, but since 2006, more than that now, nearly 20 years of government in the city of Cape Town, but especially in the last couple of years. And it's also, I think, an endorsement of our decisions in the post-election environment to decide to put politics aside of the national interest, to try to steer the national government into a direction that says we want to get the economy moving, we want to create jobs, and we're going to do everything to prevent the anti-constitutionalists from getting into power. And the voters have clearly thought that that mature, responsible response that we've had to the election results are worth rewarding as well, which is why I was very pleased to see the results. It did take me by surprise. I would expect it 80, 85, not 97, and as I say, that voting district level 99.75%. That's just astonishing.
Sounds almost like a DA party political broadcast, this. I can assure you it isn't. Let's go off to KwaZulu-Natal, though, where you also did very well, but kudos primarily there to the IFP. There, you did mention that in Mzumbi in particular, there was a attempted coup, I suppose, from the MK, ANC councillors resigning, going off to MK, standing for election, and with one exception, failing quite poorly. Just take us through those numbers, if you would.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, if we look at the voting district level data, What we saw in that municipality were a couple of interesting trends, because largely in these six wards, if you transpose the data from just 2 weeks ago, MK should have won every single ward in a landslide. They did not. And what we did see is a slight migration of support back to the ANC, but not a lot. The ANC in many of these wards are beaten into third place. The MK came in second in, I think, four of them. They came in first in one and third in the other. So you saw a slight migration back to the ANC, so slightly better in some cases. But the biggest winner was the IFP across the board. And what we did see there was a migration of people who had broken from the ANC and then voted MK 2 weeks ago, who in this by-election then voted for the IFP. And the turnout was comparable to the 2021 LG. So it wasn't ultra-low turnout like you see in a metro by-election. The turnout was, it was in the 50-odd percent, 45 to 55 range. So it wasn't ultra-low. So these are people genuinely floating around. And I think that tells you something interesting about the politics of KwaZulu-Natal. It's extremely in flux, and voters there have options. And they're choosing between the options, and the four biggest parties now are the ANC, the IFP, MK, and the DA in KwaZulu-Natal. And they're up for grabs. And so there's a very, very big floating vote in KZN now. And I suspect that probably the IFP getting the premiership might well have reinforced some of the positive brand attributes of the IFP. The MK party failing to get its hands on the levers of power probably made some of its voters, who were very, very soft and doubtful. These voters have voted MK just once. Historically, they would have voted ANC, and they're now looking at it and evaluating their options. So it tells us, because these are a large number of voting districts, up and down KwaZulu-Natal as well. It wasn't just in that municipality. There were several wards up and down, that the KwaZulu-Natal vote is up for grabs, and it is a floating vote now that no party can take for granted.
It would be very interesting if the election was reheld today, because the IFP came through incredibly strongly, winning four wards from the ANC, one from the ABC, which presumably is a smaller local party. And then you guys won a ward that was previously held by the ANC, and MK won a single ward of all of those that changed hands. I think the ANC managed to retain three of its wards. So there was a definite swing there, and the way that the IFP has behaved in the aftermath of the election might actually be striking a chord with people in KwaZulu-Natal, whereas the other parties, perhaps not so much. Okay, so put it all together for us. So it's only, it feels like a lifetime, but it's only a couple of weeks since South Africa went to the polls for the big election, and now we have this government of national unity. What are we to take from these results as a whole on the way that the voting public in South Africa are seeing the way ahead?
Yeah, so I think what we're seeing now is that the voting public are rewarding parties who are behaving responsibly and behaving in the best interests of national governments. I think that the voting public wants to see politics and politicians behave in a mature manner. And they're rewarding the parties who have done that. And they're punishing. I mean, the EFF was on the ballot up and down the country last night as well. And they got the clobbering of their lives. They're punishing those who are not taking it seriously and still engaging in theatrics. So I think that what we're beginning to see is voters across the spectrum accepting that South Africa is now a permanent coalition country, that it is not about who's going to make the most noise about what I think is right, but who's going to actually try to make an effort to deliver for South Africa broadly. And so those parties are being rewarded. I also think what we're beginning to see is sort of nascent, and it's still early days, is that the flirtation with fragmentation of to micro parties and small parties that was a trend in 2021 and even 2 weeks ago is beginning to subside. That's what you can pick up from the Beaufort West trends, even in KwaZulu-Natal with small parties losing supports and seats as well, is that the fragmentation trends, if this holds up, will begin to subside and people will begin to consolidate around the major parties, which is only a good thing. And we've had too much instability with lots and lots of tiny parties trying to almost hijack coalition governments. In Johannesburg, of course, you've got the mayor from Al Jamar, who is the less said about the better. And I'm a very, very polite person, so when you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything. But we are beginning to see the consolidation, I think, then of the electorate around the major parties rather than fragmenting towards minor parties. It's a long way to go, obviously. We'll see later on in the year when other parties contest. Rising with Zanzi is contesting a ward in Johannesburg in a couple of weeks, a suburban ward, and we'll see how that goes. But right now, I think the trends are towards consolidation rather than the fragmentation we've seen over the last 2 years.
Ashur, there's been quite a lot of social media discussion around one of your new MPs, something that he said allegedly when he was a young man. What happens in a case like this? He's now a DA MP. He said some, perhaps he said them, maybe he didn't say them, some pretty hectic stuff. What do you guys do within the party in an instance like that? And how do you handle that?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is sort of above my pay grade. Helen Ziller, Jen tends to handle these things. But I'll talk you through the process. And that is, if there's a matter where you have violated the code of conduct of the party, or you have violated the constitution of the party, and you can violate the constitution by bringing the party into disrepute, we then will trigger a hearing with our disciplinary body, which is our Federal Legal Commission, headed by Glynis Breitenbach. That is managed completely independently of the politics of the party. A disciplinary panel is chaired by a lawyer, and you then get a fair hearing to make your case. We'll charge you for misconduct, and then that is that. Yes, it's regrettable, and he said these terrible things as a much younger man before he was a member of the DA, and he had apologized for it in the past, but you know, these things are unacceptable, and the party did look at it, and the federal executive this morning took a decision to suspend Mr. House, and we will wait for the outcome of his disciplinary inquiry before we proceed on anything else. But I'm sure Glynis and her team at the Federal Legal Commission know exactly what they're doing, and I think anyone who knows Glynis Breitenbach knows that she knows exactly what she's doing.
Ashur Sarapin is a Member of Parliament with the Democratic Alliance. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.